Now at the bottom of page 12. As you drink this cup, be sure you understand that this cup represents the blood of Jesus, your only means of forgiveness for your sins. And then we recline and we drink this third cup. Notice that Matthew and Mark both have the blood being shed concerning many, not all. Isn't that interesting? At this point in history, the Jews begin to separate into two groups. One group that trusts that Jesus is the Messiah, the other group blinded, so they do not believe in Jesus. And at this point, we at our service can rend our full-size veil. And we can rend the veil at this point and make it clear, opening the way into the Ark of the Covenant. And this happened, as I said before, approximately 18 hours after they concluded this cup. Now, page 13. The Passover is an annual feast to get and keep God's people mindful of Him. Now, that's why Gentiles should be joining with it and keeping part of the feast. A lamb has been sacrificed, as I've shown you earlier. Nisan, that's the first month in which the Passover occurs, is the beginning of months. Israel's calendar is corrected, Adar 2, having just been added when necessary. That is, just before you get to Nisan, if they need a correction, they put in Adar 2. So it's very interesting at this point, Israel gets all straightened out again and starts over. One group of Jews is made very mindful of their deliverance from Egypt and God's promises to them of a future blessing. The other group of Jews is very mindful of eternal life, which is theirs through the blood of Jesus. The believing Gentiles present should provoke the first group of Jews to jealousy by the very fact that the Gentiles are partaking of this Jewish festival. Let me take a few minutes to show the difference between these two groups of Jews. If one group of Jews now is under the atonement, look down under the veil. The veil is closed, the altar, the lamb, the priest. To this group of Jews, the veil is still closed. The lamb still points to a willing substitute. For until the today day, the same covering is remaining on the reading of the Old Covenant, it not being discovered that in Messiah it is being rendered inactive. But till today, at which time Moses is being read, a covering is lying on their heart. It's inactive. It's not abolished. It's just inactive for the time being. They can't do this now. There are no sacrifices going on at all. Now, the other group of Jews come under propitiation. Atonement is covered. Their sin is covered by the cross of Jesus Christ. But propitiation takes away sin and reconciles them to God. To this group of Jews, the veil is rent. They have a high priest within the veil. The goat, the willing sin bearer, is seen within the veil. And only the goat's blood ever went on the mercy seat. So I pictured them, Jesus Christ, as the sin bearer inside the veil, and the high priest, Christ, inside the veil. So picture is different. Which hope we are having is an anchor of the soul, both sure and firm, and going in into the inner side of the veil, wherein which a forerunner went in behalf of us, Jesus, having become chief priest according to the arrangement of Melchizedek with reference to the age. Now only the blood of the goat ever went on the mercy seat for the sins of the people. Now we're going ahead under these blessings. The Jews in this group, on the left side, stand as a unit. But at which time, if it, that's total unit, might turn around to Jehovah, the covering is being lifted from around it, that is around their heart, as a total unit. For I am not willing for you to be being ignorant, brothers, of this mystery, in order that you might not be prudent in yourselves. That petrifaction has come to pass and still is from part to the Israelites. That's this part, you see, on this half. Until at which time the fullness of the Gentiles might come in. That gives the Gentiles time to come in and provoke them to jealousy. And thus all Israel will be saved. So this half's going to be saved, all right. But they will be resurrected or stood again on the earth to be saved. In the meanwhile, Gentiles are going to come to their full wickedness that God's going to allow. He's going to allow them just go so far, and then their time will be up. But I shall stand it that is national Israel again in the last day. Look at John 6:39 sometime when you have time. Now, the purpose of this group is to rebuild the nation of Israel, and it has to exist. Now, on the other side again, the right side, in this group of Jews, they stand as individuals trusting in Jesus as their personal Savior. The purpose of this group is to bring in Gentiles to the New Testament church, the body of Messiah. Now, it's important to see because the early Christians were all Jews, and the Gentiles only heard because the Jews went abroad with the gospel. Now we have the blessing together. We thank you, Hashem, our God, because you have given to our forefathers as a heritage a desirable, good, and spacious land. Because you removed us, Hashem, our God, from the land of Egypt, and you redeemed us from the house of bondage for your covenant which you sealed in your flesh, for your Torah which you taught us, and for your statutes which you made known to us, for life, grace, and loving kindness which you granted us, and for the provision of food with which you nourish and sustain us constantly in every day, in every season, and in every hour. Now we fill the fourth cup, but we do not drink it now. We learn on page 9 that Elijah was taken into heaven, and that he will return to restore all things. Elijah will return to witness 3.5 years, and you can look at Revelation 11:3. Now, towards the restoration of all things, we recite this together. This is in the Haggadah of Israel, a song of ascent. When Hashem brings back the exiles to Zion, we will have been like dreamers. Then our mouth will be filled with laughter, and our tongue with glad song. Then will it be said among the nations, Hashem has done great things for them. Hashem has done great things for us, and we rejoice. Restore our captives, Hashem, like streams in the dry land. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Though the farmer bears a measure of seed to the field in tears, he shall come home with joy, bearing his sheaves. Now that's in there. You see how they're looking forward. Now in every home, someone now goes to the door to see if Elijah has come. And with the door open, we say, pour your wrath upon the nations that do not recognize you, and upon the kingdoms that do not invoke your name. For they have devoured Jacob and destroyed his habitation. Pour your anger upon them, and let your fiery wrath overtake them. Pursue them with wrath and annihilate them from beneath the heavens of Hashem. So you see, there's no forgiveness in this spirit of these things of the side of the Jews that are being gathered back to build up the state. It's different than the Hebrew Christian. Now they close the door, and we come to the Hallel, and Hallel means praise. And that's what we're coming under. The one we just finished was way back at the top of page 12, is blessings. And the blessings are through the cross of Christ that the blessings have come upon Israel. And then Hallel are the praises, and here we have it. But since Hallel means praise, we'll praise the Lord for his leading and events towards the restoration of all things. Now here we have another recitation together. Not for our sake, O Lord, not for our sake, but for your name's sake, give glory for the sake of your kindness and your truth. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. Whatever he pleases, he does. Their idols are silver and gold, the handiwork of man. They have a mouth but cannot speak. They have eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear. They have a nose but cannot smell. Their hands they cannot feel. Their feet they cannot walk. Nor can they utter a sound with their throat. Those who make them should become like them. Whoever trusts in them. O Israel, trust in Hashem. He is their helper and shield. House of Aaron, trust in Hashem. He is their help and shield. You who fear Hashem, trust in Hashem. He is their help and shield. And by the way, the word shield there is the word Magen. And that's the Magen David, which you so often call the Star of David, which is on the flag over your heads here in our auditorium. And the Star of David is the shield of David, represents the shield, Hashem. Now, to the right. Here we have a picture of Herzl. Theodor Herzl had founded the Zionist movement for the creation of a Jewish state and had called together the first Zionist Congress at Basel in 1897. He said, I have just created the Jewish state. He noted in his diary, in 5 years perhaps, certainly in 50, everyone will understand this. What a prophetic statement that was. Add 50 years onto 1897, and what do you have? Can you do that? You have 1947, don't you? Right when we come to the state of Israel. All right, now, the next big event for which we praise God was the outcome of November 1917 and the First World War, and we have a postage stamp this time. The other is a postage stamp with Herzl, and this is a postage stamp with Chaim Weizmann. Dr. Weizmann was a great chemist. He discovered a process of synthesizing acetone, and as a result of this work, he was largely responsible for obtaining what is known as the Balfour Declaration. The Balfour Declaration was actually a very simple declaration written by Lord Balfour to Lord Rothschild and approved by the British Cabinet November 2, 1917. It reads, His Majesty's Government view with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people and will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this object. It's being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of the existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine or the rights and political status enjoyed by Jews in any other country. Well, it wasn't long before England violated that declaration. But let's go on for a moment. Here comes history to your right. 1 month later, December 1917, that is 1 month from this declaration, General Allenby drove out the Turkish armies and reached Jerusalem. For the first time since the Crusades, a non-Muslim army entered the Holy City. And I used a picture of it. There it is. A non-Muslim army, World War I, went into the Holy City. That was the outcome of World War I. Nevertheless, on that historic day, what? The Vatican refused to have the bells of the churches of Christendom rung for fear of offending the Sublime Porte. The Sublime Porte, the Ottoman Turkish government, 98% Muslim. The Vatican is the seventh world power. The Muslims are the eighth world power. And you can see the course on the mystery. And so they sided together, and the Vatican hates the Jews. Don't let anybody tell you differently. And the Arabs hate the Jews, and the two are bound together. Neither one recognizes the state of Israel even to this very day. Now look at what I think is World War I in Scripture, Matthew 24. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now come over to Joel 3, and we'll see another marvel. For behold, in those days and at that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, what? And parted my land. Now there's a Jewish National Fund stamp showing the partition of Palestine as proposed for the United Nations. By printing the word door, see those big letters up at the top, that's the word door, Dalef Aleph Resh, on the face of the stamp, it served as a postage stamp for about 6 days until Israel became a nation. And so here are these things showing the partition. See the dark part? That's the way they were going to break it all up, and they sure managed to make a mess of things. But all these things are a beginning of birth pains. See the scripture I put over there for you? All right, now look at birth pains. See, that's from Matthew 24:8. I didn't show you that before. I saved it for now. But look at Isaiah 66:8. Who heard such things as this, and who has seen and still is seeing thus? This is from the Septuagint. Can it be a land is suffering birth pains in one day? That's the same word. See that? I put the F to it to show you'd see it. Or even a nation was brought forth into existence once, because Zion is suffering birth pains, there it is again, and brought forth her children. Now you see a composite postal cover on page 16. And I put the scripture Isaiah 66 on it, because this is what happened. Now, somebody was very patient with this postal cover, and I'm very thankful that the circumstances that brought it into my possession. And I didn't even know what it was when I purchased it. I didn't purchase it for any reason. I believe the Lord let it get into my hands. Now, on May the 5th, 1948, somebody had put a postage stamp of Rachel's Tomb, a Palestine stamp issued under the British mandate, on the left side. And the envelope was stamped, Last Day of Postal Service Under British Mandate, May 5th, 1948. I've added that there so you can see it better. And you can see it in the cancellation, as far as that goes. And I've added the scripture verse. The picture of Jerusalem is on there, just like it is on my cover. Now, in between, we have an interim postal service, and one of those postage division stamps, which are really a Jewish National Fund stamp, was used in that short interim period. And then to the right, the first of the Israeli stamps, a Hebrew Post, it's called, because they didn't know they were going to call it Israel yet. That was May the 16th, 1948. You can see the cancellation, but I put it on there so you can see it easier. First day of Jewish Postal Service. They came alive. All right, go down to the Declaration of the Establishment of the State of Israel. I don't have it all. I just have little parts. Accordingly, we, members of the People's Council, representatives of the Jewish community of Eretz Israel, that's the land of Israel, and of the Zionist movement, are here assembled on the day of the termination of the British mandate over Eretz Israel. And by virtue of our natural and historic right, and on the strength of the resolution of the United Nations General Assembly, what? Hereby declare the establishment of a Jewish state in Eretz Israel to be known as the State of Israel. And look at the last part. Placing our trust in the Almighty, we affix our signatures to this proclamation at this session of the Provisional Council of State on the soil of the homeland in the city of Tel Aviv on this Sabbath Eve, the fifth day of Iyar, 5708, May 14th, 1948. Now watch carefully. Come back up again, because I said May 16th they went into operation. Look at Psalm 60. O God, thou hast cast us off, thou hast scattered us, thou hast been displeased, so turn thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble, thou hast broken it, heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast showed thy people hard things, thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. And that flag of Israel flies around the world, and see the star in the middle? That's the shield, not a star, really. That's the shield of David, the Magen of David. And so God is their shield. All right, now notice the date. Friday, May 14th, you have that, the Declaration of the State of Israel. So they rested. They passed that on Friday, the eve of the Sabbath. Saturday, the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. Sunday, May 16th, 1948, the new State of Israel began operation. Now, you think that's all accidental? Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Christ was crucified on Friday, remained in the tomb on the Sabbath, and came forth the new beginning on Sunday morning. And here it is. Here's the Palestine Post. State of Israel is born. The fulfillment of Isaiah 66:8. And here is a postage stamp from Israel on your left-hand corner showing the signers of the declaration. Now, this stamp comes from a big one, long one, that has the whole declaration of the establishment of the State of Israel, and it went worldwide. Now coming to page 17. One historic event after another shows our rapid approach to the coming of Elijah and the restoration of all things. In 1980, Israel returned their currency to the shekel. I've mentioned that already to you. The postage stamps on pages 5 and 8 are shekels. Now look at Matthew 26:14. And this good news of the kingdom will be preached in the total inhabited earth with reference to a testimony to all the Gentiles, and then the finish will be present. Now, I put Matthew 26:14 from the scripture right on this cover. Now, this postal cover doesn't have that scripture on there. I put that there. But you will notice that this postal cover was issued in September the 23rd, 1983. and that on there you'll find the United Nations stamp of the flag of Israel. And there you'll see a picture of them raising the Israeli flag at the United Nations, May the 11th, 1949. Now, it's my opinion that the talking about the good news of the kingdom, which will be preached, is not the good news of salvation, which we are bringing to people, but the good news of the kingdom, that he's restoring it to Israel, which will be preached, or is being preached, or was preached. Hold on just 1 minute, and I'll untangle you. If you wait for the gospel of salvation to be preached to all nations, then the Lord isn't coming for centuries. You can't get into India with any regularity. You can't go into Tibet. You can't go into China. You can't do much. So a third or half of the world, maybe two-thirds of the world, is closed to the gospel altogether. So they don't hear, and they're not going to hear for years to come, if at all. And then the fact is that the gospel or the good news of the kingdom will be preached in the total inhabited earth so that all of the people know. And that, I believe, was clearly done when Israel's flag went up the flagpole at the UN. For at that moment, the state of Israel was proclaimed, 1949, May the 11th, to everybody. It had been declared earlier, but their flag flying from the pole at the UN was testimony to the whole world that God was still dealing with Israel and had restored Israel. I think the good news of the kingdom is the restoration of the kingdom to the Israelis. This is a first day cover, September 23, 1983, with a UN Israeli postage stamp. The picture is the Israeli flag being raised at the UN, May the 11th, 1949. Now we come to perhaps the most important event thus far, June the 7th. Luke 21, particularly 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, I can't begin to cover this passage. I have an entire booklet covering this, a 32-page booklet. The first part of this passage was filled in A.D. 66, historically, and they went and fell by the edge of the sword, and verse 24 even was A.D. 70, the first half of it. And they remained for 1,900 years of Gentile occupation. Jerusalem was restored to the regathering Jews. Now, I've given you one event after another, and I fail to see that you can just say that this hasn't anything to do with it, and yet that's what some of these fundamentalists are trying to do. But this goes on and on. So this is the first time, June the 7th, 1967, in the short June war, when they retook the city of Jerusalem. And the National Geographic has all kinds of material on this, and you can look this up and you can see it for yourselves in the National Geographic. They've done a good job. It's December 1967, National Geographic, and you'll see this whole thing. And it came to fulfillment at that time, the most important, I think, event thus far. And yet very few Christians are recognizing the fulfillment of the end of the times of the Gentiles during the long absence of the Jews to possess the city of Jerusalem. Well, some ask, will they Gentiles ever get the city again? Yes, under Antichrist, they will occupy the city again for 3.5 years. But the point is this, that this is talking about the occupancy of the city by Gentile world nations while Israel was in dispersion. And this is fulfilled. Now, even more exciting is this. When in 1965, when my wife and I were there, this wall was hidden by a lot of buildings and so forth right in front of it. You had to go up a little narrow alleyway to get in there. But immediately, from June the 7th, 1967, they sent in bulldozers, and they plowed this whole place away. They dug the wall way down, and still is down lower than this yet. They dug this western wall of the temple clear so people could get to that western wall for prayer. It's known as the Wailing Wall. So this big plaza was made in front of the Wailing Wall. Now, think a minute. This was in time for another important date, June 14, 1967, just 1 week to the day later, the Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, and the revelation of the law at Mount Sinai, they believe, came on that day. And 200,000 Jews were there at that time, at that wall. On June the 14th, 1967, they could celebrate the Feast of Pentecost at the wall once more. Now, these are facts you cannot refute. These are historic events, and I've documented them for you right here. We come now to the last step, 15, and this means accept. We now drink the fourth cup, and we pray that God accept our observance until Jesus comes. Look what they say now at this point of time. It's from the 118th Psalm, the 24th verse, which is the last of the Hallel, because in the Jewish Passover, they would read the whole of the Hallel. This, we've only just left on the little part at the end. And this is part that they say along with that reading. The compassionate one, may he send us Elijah the prophet. The Jews look for him all over the world. And further, this is the day Hashem has made. You say this. Many of you have said this. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, yeah. But that doesn't mean any old day. This is talking about the day when he comes. This is the day Hashem has made. We will rejoice and be glad in him, not in it. And the Midrash says that we didn't know, for bow can be in it or in him. And we didn't know, but we found out when Solomon came and wrote the Song of Solomon that it's supposed to be glad in him. And this looks to the return of the Messiah and the fulfillment of the restoration of all things. And as they drink this last cup, they say, this year, Jerusalem. They used to say, next year, Jerusalem, but no longer. Now it's this year, Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is in their hands. And so we, who are of that group of people, who see our high priest in the heavenlies, and the goat, our sin bearer, and the rent veil, and the veil stands before our congregation rent, look for the coming of the Lord Jesus. And at this point of time, we're able to rend the back, the west end of the tabernacle. It's called the two sides westward. And they rend apart the two sides, and the cross appears on our wall there, showing that now he's coming back to his own, those who have been redeemed through the blood of the cross.